Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. The White House is defending the discovery of classified documents in President Biden's possession following a special counsel's appointment today. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
We are confident that a thorough review will show that these documents were inadvertently misplaced, and the president and his lawyers acted promptly upon discovering of this mistake.
But Republicans are calling out the Justice Department. Here's CBS's Skylar Henry.
The Republicans say the DOJ treated former President Trump much harsher, raiding his Mar-a-Lago home to find classified material that the National Archives repeatedly requested he return.
You watched them leak photos of sitting out files of President Trump. Where's the photos of President Biden's documents?
That's House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. The investigation is expected to start soon. New York Republican George Santos isn't budging. CBS's Scott McFarland tells us Santos won't resign despite more pressure from the GOP.
He's making clear he's here to stay. In an interview with a far-right media outlet, he says if other Republicans had the strength he had, they'd do better with media scrutiny, like types of which he's been getting over the past 6 days.
About 20 million Americans are now under severe weather threats in the South, where tornadoes are reportedly causing severe destruction. Alabama's getting the brunt of it. In California, a bit of a break between rounds of rain.
It is literally the calm before the next storm. With little or no rain, California officials are urging people to prepare. Monterey County Sheriff Tina Nieto.
State and local officials are preparing for continued flood stage activity, possibly through Sunday.
Reggie Williams is with the California Highway Patrol.
We need everyone to limit their travel during the next few days.
The next storm will begin dropping rain tomorrow. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Well, 2022 wasn't the hottest year on record, but it was close.
We're going to continue to see this trend as long as greenhouse gases are accumulating. Another way to think about this year and this time right now and the future is that this is one of the coolest years for the rest of our lives.
Sarah Panix, a government scientist, she says the hottest year ever is still 2016. More women are saying no to babies. CBS's Stacey Lynn.
The CDC says the number of births in the U.S. has continued to decline, with nearly half of American women under 45 opting not to have children. They say women are staying in school longer and choosing longer career paths. They also cite changing family values, financial concerns, and improved access to contraception.
Not to mention rising costs of living and student debt. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Governor Evers' efforts to legalize recreational marijuana are likely up in smoke. That's what Assembly Speaker Robin Voss tells the Journal Sentinel. Evers plans to try to legalize recreational marijuana as part of his state budget proposal. Voss says legislative leaders are just starting to warm up to medical marijuana. Voss says Evers' recreational pot proposal could turn Republicans off. It's usually kids who get in trouble for fighting at school, but a number of adults are in trouble after a fight outside a middle school in Oshkosh yesterday. Police say it started when two students got into a fight, but then their family showed up and things escalated. Police arrested several of the adults. In sports, the Bucks beat Atlanta last night 114-105. Milwaukee's at Miami tonight. Marquette beat UConn last night 82-76. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio, VO5.
Let's do it on the dance floor. Let's do it. Are we getting
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
The SHA 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy!
Maybe pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade.
Hey, welcome everybody to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. This is Ogama Gnu Ekwe, and I have some information for everybody here tonight. I just wanted to let everybody know that Thursday, December 15th, which is tomorrow, there's a drum and dance at the Dayton's Bluff Elementary School at 262 Bates Avenue in St. Paul. It's also an event where you can get free COVID-19 shots, boosters, and flu shots. There's $50 gift card incentives. You can also get free youth coats and boots, free swag, and walk-ins are welcome. This is put on by Stay Safe Minnesota, Interfaith Action of Greater St. Paul, and the Department of Indian Work. And without further ado, here is some news from me.
Bonjour, Aline relatives. This is Ogama Gnu Ekwe. I've got some news for you here on Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. First and foremost, we are in the Midwest. We broadcast live in the Midwest and the Northern Plains area. I know we have a lot of people who follow us there. And we're currently, you know, depending on where you live, you're either still in the middle of or on the far side of a We Are Not Kidding storm. According to the South Dakota Public Safety officials, they tweeted that early on Monday as the state was becoming completely battered with, I believe it was some 20 hours of constant snow in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Much of the western states, the Dakotas, Montana, coming into Minnesota, had to shut down and remain closed, or shut down Tuesday, and they're remaining closed Wednesday due to heavy snow and high winds. There's about a 200-mile stretch of I-90 that was closed in South Dakota from Chamberlain all the way to the Wyoming border, and there were no travel advisories that stretched into the eastern part of South Dakota, including Interstate 29. And then in North Dakota, Tuesday into early Wednesday, there was blowing snow, and I-94 was shut down between Fargo and Dickinson for several hours, but has reopened Wednesday afternoon since the snow's tapered off. Much of western Nebraska and some of southwest Nebraska is now impassable, according to Nebraska state troopers on Tuesday morning. And in Colorado, Colorado State Patrol gave similar warnings on their social media, saying there were no open roadways into or out of northeast Colorado. Here in Minnesota, there were periods of heavy snow and 40 to 55 mile an hour wind gusts, and they're going to continue to expand into Minnesota and portions of northern Wisconsin. And they're hoping, though, that there should be lower winds as
they come into the upper Midwest here, which will lower them from winter storm, from blizzard down into winter storm. There's fresh snowfalls of anywhere between 5 and 12 inches with higher amounts into Wednesday now, into today, all across the the Midwest and the Northern Plains area, North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, a little bit of Iowa, parts of Nebraska and Colorado as well, and also Montana, Billings and Glendive are also in some pretty deep snow right now, too. There's also thunder snow, everybody. It's been a few years since we've had a thunder snow, but in the northeast portion of Minnesota up in Duluth, they did report blizzard conditions up in Duluth and also lightning at the same time. Through Thursday, many locations in the northern high plains are going to see overall snowfall totals in the upwards of 30 inches, everybody. Very, very heavy snowfall. So it's going to go over to the East Coast. It's going to impact our relatives to the south as well. So just wanted to give an update from what I could find from the National Weather Service and some other local weather stations for our relatives who may not have been able to tune in earlier in the day to catch what's happening with the weather, may not know where to follow it. I also bring up this information to remind everybody to be kind. If you must travel, be kind to the other drivers on the road, and also check in on your relatives, check in on your elders, check in on those single parents that you have in your life, check in on those people who maybe have a health condition or are not as mobile as they once were. Those are our relatives that need the most help when these types of storms hit. Offer to shovel, offer to check in with them and make sure that those types of things are happening, and you know they're not trapped, they're not out of milk, those types of things. So another interesting thing that happened over in the Dakotas, in South Dakota, just as the storm was hitting, was the annual Lakota Nation Invitational, or LNI. They had it at the Monuments Event Center in Rapid City, and it's its 45th year of this basketball tournament, technically, which is what it started at as, but the Lakota Nation Invitational has actually, you know, kind of been transformed over the last 45 years into a place for Native kids to showcase their talents. Initially, it was an eight-team tournament in Pine Ridge, but now there's 24 boys and 24 girls teams, 24 teams for the basketball tournament, and that portion of the event is really just the most well-known part of the events. The tournament also includes wrestling, archery, handball, which is a Lakota game, Lakota language tradition, an art show, a chess tournament, slam poetry presentations, and this year they had an esports symposium. So there were a lot of relatives who were out traveling for that and who were maybe stranded as the storm hit during that Lakota Nation Invitational. But, for those of you that were participating, I hope you get home safe. I hope you make it home safe. And I hope all of your kids had a really great time. It sounds like a wonderful, wonderful event. And hopefully next year I can get a little more coverage ahead of time on that. So last bit of news I wanted to touch base on here is that the Arctic report card is now out from the the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, the NOAA, the Arctic program, and that came out this week, and it's got some pretty dire language in it, everybody. Under the What's New page, under the Arctic NOAA.gov website, says the warming Arctic reveals shifting seasons, widespread disturbances, and the value of diverse observations, meaning they're shifting seasons and climate-driven disturbances, everything from wildfires, extreme weather, to unusual wildlife mortality events, and they're becoming increasingly difficult to assess within the context of what has been previously considered normal to these areas. Some of the report card highlights that the Arctic sea ice is similar to 2021 and is well below the long-term average. There's been significant Arctic precipitation since the 1950s, and it's now detectable across all seasons. So they have wetter than normal conditions observed through October. Observed October through September of 2021 to 2022. And it was the third wettest year of the past 72 years. And, you know, they're seeing widespread disturbances in ocean traffic, maritime ship traffic increasing as sea ice is diminishing. Seabirds are dying off, and they're, you know, they have open water at the North Pole. So Greenland is melting as well. The headlines for this are disturbing, and we need to really push our legislators, our people in our life, we need to really work hard, because this climate change that we are experiencing, this human-driven climate change, is really affecting our relatives, the Inuit people in Alaska. And, you know, they're losing their land, they're losing their culture, and, you know, these people are, again, like other indigenous people, hit first and worst by climate change. So if you have not yet, make sure you give a call to your representative and implore them to please protect the Arctic, protect our relatives there, and the Arctic indigenous peoples and the Arctic indigenous animal relatives there, and work for climate change.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Health insurance that fits my budget? I'm covered. I needed health coverage I could count on and afford. Minsure helped me find a plan that works for me, and they helped me save money. Did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through Minsure? And they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to Minsure.org today and get started and get covered. That's MNSure.org. MNSure.org.
COVID-19 is still here. It's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help you protect yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. Get your booster at the 360 Colburn Clinic, operated by St. Paul Ramsey County Public Health, for a chance to win one of five $500 Visa gift cards. Each week in January, a winner will be selected from eligible persons age 5 and up who got their COVID-19 booster. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/booster.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, I'm here with Vice President of Prairie Island, Shelley Buck, and I'm really excited to talk about what we're doing here today in Prairie Island. So welcome, and thank you so much for being on Native Roots Radio.
Thank you, Piamaya, for having me. I'm excited. We're excited to be hosting MASS today, which is the Midwest Area Sovereign Tribes, and we've not had it here for, years. So we're excited to have everybody back and work together with all of our brothers and sisters across the Midwest tribes and really get some action done.
Yeah, when we talk about action, it's interesting. all, you know, and I'm here with Ho-Chunk Nation, but all our nations are pretty much dealing with a lot of the same things. So it's really, really good to be together and talk over solutions.
It definitely is. And we've found throughout the years that when we work and fight together, we're stronger than if we try to do it alone. So the fact that we can have open and honest conversations with one another and really see that we're all in this together, it kind of gives us some comfort, especially with some of the really dark issues like the opioid crisis. Knowing that there are other tribes, unfortunately, out there that are dealing with that same issue, it gives you some comfort to know you're not alone in this. And we all have our own cultures that help us to get through a lot of this stuff, but it's really great to be able to come together and work for the betterment of all of us.
Yeah, for me, it's like, well, why didn't I think of that when I hear some great ideas from other tribes? And it's really awesome to hear how there's a lot of thinkers out there and doers.
It definitely is. It's crazy. Just before the meeting, I was introducing myself to some of the tribal leaders, and I was introduced to the new president of the Sault Ste. Marie tribe, and just talking to him and hearing about how their tribe is, how many members, what they're doing a lot of the similar things we're doing, or they're wanting to do some of the things that we already do, or vice versa, and just finding those commonalities that we all have. It shouldn't blow your mind, but it blows your mind.
I just want to like back up a little bit because I'm really excited about what we're doing right now, but I want you to talk to we're on civic media all over the country. Talk a little bit about your nation and where you are exactly so people have a good idea of not only of who I'm talking to, but where I'm talking.
Definitely. We are at Prairie Island, which the reservation itself is about 35 miles southeast of Minneapolis-St. Paul. We are along the Mississippi River. We've been here for countless generations. Actually, we're Bedewakantua, and our creation story has us coming from the waters here in Minnesota. So unlike a lot of tribes who have a migration story that pushes them over to the west, this is our birthplace. This is the only place we've known as home. The state is named after Dakota word Minnishota Makoche. So, you know, it's really exciting. And when I was driving down to Rochester for my niece's birthday party the other night, just seeing all the names of the towns that are after Dakota names, just it kind of makes me a little proud, but I wish they would spell them properly. But you know, we're down here in this area. We about 1,100 members enrolled, about half adults, half children. We are a small land base. We're tribal council of five. Like most tribes, we provide all the services to our people, the health care, the education. We're the largest employer of Goodhue County, the second largest hotel property in the state of Minnesota. And I think that's pretty empowering to be able to say that, knowing that this is a state that exiled a large majority of the Dakota people in the state. To know that we are now the second largest hotel property in the state is just something really that makes me proud. And I'm happy that we're able to be able to help the surrounding community with jobs and other charity events that we do. So yeah, we're excited to be down here. We're excited to have everybody here, and excited to see what next year brings for all of us.
Well, you know, just thinking too, and I know me being a Minnesotan and living in the Twin Cities in St. Paul, how active your tribe is, mm-hmm. in whether it's supporting youth, professional teams. That is so important for us as Native people, but also for the state of Minnesota.
It's incredibly important, and that's why we partner with people like the professional sports teams, because they have a larger platform that we can reach and really educate people, because obviously the school systems in the country, not just the state, but the country, fail on the education of the true history of this country. And for us to be able to have that platform to reach more people is just so empowering. And it's great, because we were just talking before you started, our people are thriving for this stuff. They're dying to have these media outlets. They're dying to see their designs and stuff on the professional team jerseys. So we always tell our partners with the teams, you need to make sure that we can sell these things. You need to make sure that you have a lot of supplies, because our people will come out and spend the money to buy these. Even if they don't have the money, they'll go without eating for a couple of days so they can have these shirts, because that's how much having that emblem that represents who they are when we've been erased from our very homeland is so important. And people don't listen to me, and now they're starting to listen.
You know what's really exciting, too, as my listeners know, I have a store in downtown Minneapolis, and also we got into the state fair, and how important it is to have not only native-looking things, but have the natives design them. And that's one of the things I'm really proud about, that I can tell everyone in the store who made what and what tribe they're from. And it's the opposite appropriation, and I think yes. That's what you guys are doing.
That's definitely true. Hearing those stories and who the artists are and where they come from. And I have a turquoise ring on, and I bought it down in Arizona at one of the tribes, and just hearing the artist tell me about how he made it and what it meant, and it has like a little point on it. It's round on one side, pointing on the other, and I said, okay, is there a proper way to wear this or not? And he says, well, this way with the curvy end on the top, that's just for everyday use, but if you really want to hurt somebody, turn it the other way so the pointed end is at the facing everybody. So, you know, just little things like that is really cool to listen to and think about. And
I thought there's going to be some spiritual thing that you're going to tell me. No. It's closer to your heart.
I know. See, I thought that too. I thought this is going to be a great story because, you know, the Navajo, the Diné, they have awesome stories. So this is going to be really good. No, it was more geared towards me. It fit me perfectly. But that is cool to hear their stories.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, there's so many Native artists. And I know, like, for instance, you know, a lot of I wear your T-shirts on my show that were given out, like, by the twins. Yeah. And the artists, and just having those colors and those designs. It's just important to represent our city, but also these great artists and your tribe.
Definitely, and you can't say it enough, representation matters. It matters in every aspect of life, and to even have it on just a T-shirt, it's so important for our kids to see that. I didn't see it growing up. My kids started to see it a little bit growing up, but nowadays, the kids, I'm just excited to see what the next generation of kids can do. The sky's the limit for them, truly, truly. They're going to be able to see Native people that look like them, think like them in every aspect of their life. And that's empowering just for me as an almost elder. Getting close.
Yeah, we only got a couple more minutes, but I just have to say, I usually have Robert Lilligren on every Thursday, and we're the same age, and we talk about, you know, 1978, I was a junior, and he was a senior in high school. We talk about how things have just changed, because we were basically language wiped out, basically. Mm-hmm. We were moved into the cities, and now these young ones are really kicking it in, I feel like.
Oh, it's so amazing. I moved my kids here because I wanted them to grow up in the culture and the language, because I wasn't able to. And my oldest daughter, she took Dakota language since she was little and took it through college. And she is just so phenomenal. She not only is so great with the language, but our stories that my Dekshi art Owen used to tell her, just all those different things is so amazing. And I'm now just finishing up my first semester as a Dakota language student at the University of Minnesota, and it's so hard for me. It's a struggle, and my grades wouldn't show it, but it is a struggle for me, and to know that she was able to do it so easily is just, it's heartwarming.
You know, and I just have to say this real quick, because you made me think of a great leader here that's passed on a few years ago, Art, and how we're all related. My Uncle Curtis, who used to be on the show all the time, was Art's best man in his second wedding. So isn't that weird how we're all kind of related?
That is crazy. Dekshi Art, he touched a lot of people, Native and non-Native, and his loss was a huge loss that I still feel today.
Yeah, I think we just had an anniversary, because mm-hmm. I saw a lot of pictures pop up, and it is sad. But, you know, I just have to say, I'm an elder now, which, you know, I should say I'm a junior elder, but I am 62, an elder in our tribe, and it's hard to replace our great elders, but we do have to step up like you have, as being president and vice president of this great nation.
Well, thank you. And, you know, my ancestors 7 generations ago thought about me and sacrificed and did the things that they did so I could have what I had today. And my tribe is able to give me so much that I had to give back. And even if I'm never working here, doing some kind of job, I will always be working to represent my tribe in a positive way.
Wow, that was Shelley Buck of Prairie Island and Vice President. Thank you, Pinigi, so much for coming in. And I've been looking forward this for this conversation for a lot of years.
Well, Pidami Aye, thank you for having me. It was my honor. I've always wanted to be on your show. I love it. I like listening to it. I like seeing all the people and hearing what they have to say. So, Pidami Aye.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
CBS News Brief. Attorney General Merrick Garland has appointed former U.S. Attorney Robert Hur as a special counsel to investigate the handling of classified documents linked to President Biden.
I am confident that Mr. Hur will carry out his responsibility in an even-handed and urgent manner, and in accordance with the highest traditions of this department.
President Biden says he's fully cooperating. A respite of rain in California. CBS's Carter Evans.
You're like a rat in a maze. You're trying to find a way to where you're going through all these different roads, because one way you go, there's a tree down. Another way you go, there's a mudslide or a rock slide, or part of the road is falling off the mountain.
And more rains moving in this weekend. Alabama's governor has declared a state of emergency in six counties over tornadoes. This family's in Selma.
Somebody crying.
Yeah, I heard a baby crying too. Hello? She said that she heard that baby crying. Oh, my God.
Storms are also hitting Georgia and Florida. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matner with your headlines. A proposal called Parental Rights and Transparency was unanimously approved by the Waukesha Board of Education Wednesday night. Under the measure, district staff aren't allowed to call a minor student by names, nicknames, or pronouns other than those commonly shortened or abbreviated full names or pronouns consistent with the student's biological sex without the parent's written permission. Regarding sports, students will participate in programs consistent with their biological sex and the rules of the WIAA. Parents can opt their kids out of classes or lessons that may not align with the family's deeply held personal or religious beliefs. A dairy farmer from Viroqua has been appointed to the Wisconsin DNR board. Governor Evers announcing Wednesday Paul Burr will take his position on the board on January 20th. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Day equals day. Greg Bach Day.
It is. Put that on your tombstone.
Oh, yeah.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Yes, you've just convinced me towards a burial service now. That's it.
Wait, was it cremation before? Was that your go-to?
Viking funeral?
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
To spice up your next home-cooked meal, check out Vinaigrette at 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis. carrying the finest olive oils and vinegars since 2009. Check them out at vinaigrettemn.com or visit the store today.
This is Winona the Duke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm here with Jamie Edwards. Jamie, I've known you for a long time in many different ways. Tell me what you do for your nation, and welcome to Native Roots Radio again.
Hey, thanks for having me back, Robert. Yes, Jamie Edwards. I do government affairs for the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe, and I have for a bit more than 20 years now.
Wow. I was only 40 when you started.
Hey, I was 12.
There you go. Exactly. Well, you look young now, too. So, hey, so I don't know. We're at Mass right now, and we just talked to Shelley Buck, and now we're talking. Let's talk a little fun here right now. In Minneapolis, the Hallucination is going to be there, formerly known as the Tribe Called Red. I know you're a hip-hop man. Tell us a little bit about them.
Well, man, I am really excited about the concert this evening. We had a chance to interview Two for One, who is a Minneapolis artist who's going to be opening for the Hallucination, which is really cool. I like the transition from A Tribe Called Red to the new name of the group. And I know that from some of the tracks that I listened to, some of the recordings, that John Trudeau was a huge part of their transition into the Hallucination, and I think that is a play on words. It deals with the erasure and the way in which tribal nations, First Nations, because the Hallucination again is from Canada, you know, how Native people, Indigenous people, have been treated. And attempts to erase us. But as you can see here at this MAST meeting, Midwest Alliance of Sovereign Tribes, which represents 35 tribes, I believe, in the Midwest region, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, I think Illinois is even in there, even though, and maybe Iowa, Meskwaki Nation, although I don't know that they ever show up. But at any rate, all these tribes, as you can see by the turnout, tribal nations, we're still here, and we're still advocating at all levels of government to protect our interests and our treaty rights.
You know, that's awesome. We talked a little bit about how important it is now, after all these years, for Native nations to work together, because we have a lot of the same issues.
Definitely. There's a lot of collaborative work that happens in an environment like this where again, it's a regional organization of tribes collaborating, going, sharing the information of what is happening in their individual states, as well as going and advocating in D.C. on the Hill as a collective. And there are several other regional tribal organizations across the U.S.
Yeah, we talk about a lot of what's going on, and I know I was down in D.C. for ICWA and the Supreme Court, and we know that this is a sovereignty kind of breaking us up kind of vote, and it's kind of hidden with these oil companies supporting this Supreme Court thing, which is really bizarre because it's going to be about land, not just our kids.
Yeah, a lot of interesting threats that Indian country is facing, along with the democracy itself. You know, the unraveling of the Indian Child Welfare Act in this effort with this Brackeen case, which is very important. A lot of tribes are paying attention to how the very conservative activist court is gonna weigh in on some of these issues, and you know, when. You know, and the Trump era gave us several conservatives that were added to the court now, and every case is really important. And, you know, Indian country, in situations like this, we tend to try to stay out of the federal courts, you know, as much as is possible. But there's a lot at stake and a lot of reasons to protect our interest, and hopefully that case will have limited impact on the Indian Child Welfare Act. And I know here in Minnesota, there's going to be some efforts to ensure that the Minnesota Family Preservation Act, which is Minnesota's version of ICWA, that it is going to be solidified and protections will be in place to ensure that the ICWA and what's important with the ICWA, which is keeping Indian children and Indian families and in community with extended family members, that the spirit of that law and that act are not diminished here in Minnesota.
Well, Jamie, great points. It's an attack on us. And one of the things, and I want to get your opinion on this, one of the things, if we lose this case and our kids are left, one of the things that I've kind of talked about, and I don't know, I want to hear what your feeling is, if you're going to take our kids from us, let's enroll them before you take them. And so we are still here, and they're not going to erase us. I don't know. What do you feel? I mean,
well, there's a few things in there. I think, you know, again, ICWA, the goal of ICWA was to ensure that not only, because there were efforts in Canada and in the U.S. to really target for adoption.
60 schools.
Yeah, taking Indian children out of American Indian homes and families, and you know, the cultural preservation and connection to language. So many of us have had the experience where you know, we were impacted by those decisions pre-ICWA. And so we've seen through the years that protecting that interest and ensuring that tribes can assert their jurisdiction and weigh in on many of these cases have brought home many, many relatives that were lost during that era. We don't want to go into another era like that. And I was affected by that personally. I definitely have siblings who we were pre-ICWA, and as a result, you know, we got spread out, split up, and ended up in foster care, ended up in adopted into families that were non-native families. And then you have to go through the rebuilding of your family history and connectivity. And it is very challenging, and we don't want to go back through that era again. And so hopefully the court, if the ruling is unfavorable, hopefully it is a narrow unfavorable decision, right? And that's the hopes. And I think the folks that are working, the, you know, NARF, the Native American Rights Fund, and many other tribes have weighed in and have filed amicus briefs to ensure that the court has all the information it needs to make the right decision. And we shall see. Unfortunately, we're going to be in a holding pattern until they make a decision on that case.
Wow, it just made me think. I agree with you. Being an adoptee, I've been doing nothing but playing catch-up for my adult life, and I appreciate you saying that. We don't want to go back, and I think they're in for a fight. I was out there in D.C., like I said, and one of the interesting things, Jamie, was the questions that the Supreme Court was asking. Like, they did not know anything about Indian law.
Indian law is a very unique, federal Indian policy is very unique. A lot of legal practitioners are not very, very versed in Indian law. And then you have an activist type court. There are some folks on that court that have an understanding of federal Indian policy, but there's definitely a conservative slant on that court right now.
Well, Jamie, I'm going to switch gears here in the last 2 minutes. And one of the things is Native Roots Radio is on KFAI. And I know you do some things for KFAI, if you don't mind talking about that are really fun. And I think tell our audience when they can tune in and what your show's about.
So thank you. A shameless plug for my show. I appreciate that, Robert. And we collaborate a lot, American Indian programming on the station. You have a regular show. And I also produce and co-host a show called Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy that comes on KFAI Monday evenings from 6 to 7 p.m. It's hip-hop and public policy conversations. And we cover the diaspora of questions and issues issues that, you know, are facing the state. We cover what's happening legislatively at the state level and what's happening at the federal level and some of these interesting attacks to the democracy that have been happening of recent, you know. But we also do shows and recordings of artists. We had, like I mentioned, we had Two for One in, who is a Puerto Rican and Dakota artist who's going to be opening again for the Hallucination that are going to be in concert tonight. So go check them out at the Fine Line. But all, you know, we are multidimensional human beings, and you know, even though our work today is work that we're doing, you know, for our tribal nations, you know, when you go home to St. Paul or I go home, there are other things that we have going on, and broadcasting is one of those. And I'm always always grateful for your ask to participate in your show and to, you know, work as partners and allies, both on behalf of Indian country and locally in the Twin Cities, and also just in the broadcasting space. Always happy to lend a hand to my good friend Robert Pilot from Native Roots Radio.
Ooh, I think you were just getting on a roll there, and now we got to end it. But thank you so much, Jamie, for stopping in, and we got to make this more often.
Chi Miigwech, Mr. Pilot, anytime.
Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be back right after this short message. Stay with us.
Hey, Olgama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
COVID-19 is still here. It's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help you protect yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. Get your booster at the 360 Colburn Clinic, operated by St. Paul Ramsey County Public Health, for a chance to win one of five $500 Visa gift cards. Each week in January, a winner will be selected from eligible persons age 5 and up who got their COVID-19 booster. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/booster.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Olgama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves. Please join Howling for Wolves on Wolf Day, Tuesday, February 7th, 2023 at the Minnesota State Capitol. You can sign up on Howling for Wolves event page. Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Oh, this is Robert Pilot. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Hey, I'm here in Prairie Island, and I got a cool guest here who's running the show here. I want him to introduce yourself in this last segment. Welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Thank you very much, Mr. Pilot. Scott Veely, Executive Director, Midwest Alliance of Sovereign Tribes. We've all traveled here. We've got 22 tribes here at Prairie Island Indian Community at their beautiful resort casino. Treasure Island, and it's just an amazing fact that people came out in the, you know, threat of the storm, and they still, 22 tribes showed up and organizations showed up with over 80 people in attendance. That's just an amazing winter meeting that we've never had before. So, you know, some of the issues that we've been discussing is the Indian Child Welfare Act and the litigation that's in Supreme Court, and our vice president of MAS, the chairman, Tahase Hill, his tribe is a body in that litigation, and he helped us arrange for attorney Keith Harper to come on and do a presentation, as well as we had the executive director, Ms. York from White Earth, do a follow-up on the Indian Child Welfare Act. And again, it's all the tribes make MAS. The strength comes in numbers, and strength comes in numbers in anything that we do, whether it's land to trust, Indian child welfare, veterans affairs, education, and most importantly, and another issue is health care in the Midwest. You know, missing and murdered indigenous women, those issues such as that. So
I think it's really important that MAST, and you can tell our audience what MAST stands for, that we all pretty much have the same issues, and we kind of really need to unite and talk about what's working and not working in our nations.
And we've, you know, that's a great point, because we've done that in the past. And one of the things that the Oneida Nation has allowed is they have a lobbyist down in Madison for state issues with the state of Wisconsin. So with their legislative director's help, Melinda Danforth, and my request, we were able to work with the Oneida tribe to black out their independent individual Oneida issues out of their weekly lobbyist report, mm-hmm. and then they share that report with the other 10 tribes in the state of Wisconsin. If anybody wants to get on that mailing list, their lobbyist then darts out all of the Oneida's personal information and then shares that lobbyist report with the other tribes in the state of Wisconsin. So that's just one great thing that we're doing as unified tribes from Wisconsin, but as regionally, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, we come together with those issues as well. The board, you know, Pokagon Band, Oneida, Stockbridge Muncie, Mille Lacs, they all have legislative professionals that work on the Hill, that build consensus. And if we, as you heard in the conversation today, the tribes are really concerned about wild rice, which affects us all, even though we're not all wild rice providers. It affects us all because it's pertaining to clean water and the livelihood of our Ojibwe brothers and sisters. So we have to support that unified. We have to get behind that. We have to get behind ICWA. We have to get by a missing, murdered indigenous persons. We have to get by the you know, the children, the veterans. And those issues are more readily heard when we all speak as one voice. And that's one of the reasons we don't deal in any gaming issues. We're all non-gaming. It's land to trust, health care. You know, our region is still, from 20 years ago, we were the lowest funded region from IHS funding, and we're still the lowest funded region in IHS funding. So, you know, appropriations are going to be discussed tomorrow. Hot topics for the Midwest with regards to the healthcare needs. We were very unified when we created the Great Lakes Regional Health Board, and our sister tribal councilwoman from Gun Lake, Phyllis Davis, is the chair of that board, and they do some wonderful things in healthcare, and they're more centralized just in healthcare. And so, you know, we have the National Indian Health Board, but we have our own regional health board in Region 5 here, and we're very grateful that the tribal leaders created that, and that we have three representatives from each state. Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, each state has three representatives, and then MAST has a seat, and the executive director of that board. So we're working together on those issues in healthcare and, you know, and building those issues. You know, if you were an elected official 20 years ago and you just came back into office, you'd be like, well, what was accomplished since I was gone? Mm-hmm. There's not a lot that, you know, with the different, every 4 years, the administration, the federal administration's changed out. Mm-hmm. Then you got to go back to educating the new persons, and the old administration, the hangovers, they don't much less care about Native Americans unless you've pounded them with lobbyists and funds. So, you know.
Yeah, that's a really great point. And two, you talked earlier about ICWA and, you know, listening to the Supreme Court and the questions they had, and especially the new ones, they don't understand Indian law.
you know, I don't know that there's a lot of people outside of Native Americans, American Indians, and Indians that understand Indians. We have a lot of people that all nowadays think that they know what's best for us. They used to, in the days, speak for us. And our tribal leaders from 15, 20 years ago said, it's time to stop having other folks speak for our tribes. It's time for tribal leaders and tribal young people to stand up, take the reins, and speak for and on behalf of the tribes. And so the education is constantly being reminded to the Supreme Court, to the White House, to Congress, to Senate, to the state, to secretaries, consultations. Consultations aren't consultations unless you all take a problem to the table and come back with a resolution or a fix. It's not just to go identify who you are, who I am, for 45 minutes and then say, okay, here's the issue. Okay, we're going to go back and work on it. No, we should be able to consult one another to find out how we can come to a best addressed fix for the problem at hand, including ICWA, missing and murdered indigenous woman, opioid abuse, law enforcement. So those are issues that are very, very important to our tribal leaders and what we're consistently working on.
Yeah, it was interesting, too, like you mentioned again earlier, about the wild rice issue. I had no idea until I heard that what California was doing.
And that's just California. So if California is doing it, then what about the anti-Indian organizations here in the Midwest? You've got Hobart, you've got Red Springs, you've got Mille Lacs, you've got all the counties outside of Indian country that are constantly attacking. And they don't even know what they're attacking us for outside the verbiage of being prejudicial. They, you know, what is that old age adage that you get more with honey than you do with vinegar? And our tribal leaders from yesterday taught us that. And the counties, the states would be more inclined to receive more from the partnership that they created with tribes, you know, whether it's Ho-Chunk, whether it's Menominee, whether it's our Ojibwe's brothers and sisters to the north, or our Sioux, Lakota, Dakota, Nakotas from the west here. It's always better to partner than it is to oppose. So, you know, that's a very strong thing that California took, and they don't even understand the ramifications of what it means to the real people of this land, to our Ojibwe brothers and sisters, to our Ho-Chunk brothers and sisters, to our Odawas, to what it means, what that rice and that substance means to their livelihoods. California has no idea. They have no education pertaining to the rice beds, the lakes, and the waterways, and why we fight so hard to protect from Enbridge and all the other big oil companies in the Midwest here coming through. It's no service to our community. It's no service. They provide minimal amounts of jobs, minimal payments, and they provide no long-term goals and objectives that tribes can live with. So, you know, it's just a fight, and it's a constant education, and it's hard. You know, coming from that last administration, when people just came out of the woodwork, you know, they were always there. But now that last administration just allowed them to poke their little heads out and just call whatever they wanted to call and be ugly and nasty and non-partner, not create non-partnerships. So it's not very humbling, and it's very confusing, and it just creates spinning wheels.
Well, I just want to say thank you. I got 30 seconds left here. One last comment and the great work that you're doing in our nations and the mass community. Just one quick see you later to our listening audience all over Turtle Island.
Thank you. And I tell you that what creates unity and harmony is we all working together. The tribal leaders said it today. And what makes MAST, what makes any organization, is unity. We all have to be at the table, and sometimes it gets tiring, but we have to be there. If we're not there, we're not there.
Pini Gigi, thank you so much. That was Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We'll see you tomorrow. Free Leonard Peltier now.
I'm Kelly Tanky.
And I'm
Attention! If you owe money to the IRS, this is an urgent message. The IRS is cracking down by sending out heart-stopping letters, aggressively garnishing paychecks, seizing bank accounts, and putting liens on homes and businesses. They call it enforced compliance, and you better watch out, because penalties and interest on unpaid taxes compound daily, making it seem impossible to ever get out of debt. Don't let the tax debt destroy your life. You need to call Optima Tax Relief, the number one tax resolution firm. They're experts in the Fresh Start Initiative, one of the biggest breaks that the IRS has ever offered. If you qualify, you could save thousands. Optima's resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, they'll fight to get you the best deal possible. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.